Okay, we're going to call to order for our board meeting. It is 6:30, Wednesday, January 21st, 2026. We are meeting here in the City of Yvonnewell boardroom. Any public comments? Any conflict of interest? There is none. Okay, let's go to, so we'll go right down the agenda. Let's do approval of bills. You're on the back.
So we don't have to run through the fee changes again?
We will get to that.
Okay.
We can't even address that in this meeting because it wasn't on the agenda. It'll have to be, wait till next meeting for the fee changes. Because we didn't know we needed it on this agenda.
Okay.
We have to notice the public. We can't do that during this meeting.
Okay, we'll get, when we get to that, we'll ask Gail. Yeah. Okay, so let's stick to the bills.
That's a pretty good bill.
It looks like the construction company's got a good one, which means they're making progress. We'll let Jeff get involved in that when it's his turn.
I make a motion to approve the bills as they are listed.
Okay. I'll second that motion.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? There is none. Motion carries. Okay, let's go to approval of minutes.
I make a motion to approve the minutes as corrected.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? There is none. Motion carries. Okay, let's go on to the Don and Shanna Hatch. And that they are a little concerned that they received a bill for $3,000 after the work was done. They were assuming that their water connection that they paid for the $4,000 covered that. We have had a discussion with them and it's kind of come to an agreement that we're going to have a meeting. I'm going to have Alan set that up. You can give me a call that we'll get something worked out. You and I, maybe we'll get AJ or somebody else to come and we'll have a discussion with him. Then we can get back to the hatches on that.
I think we need to go through our new connection paperwork too, and adjust some things.
Yeah, we need to reword that.
Yeah, we'll get that done.
Can I ask a question? Is it the same contractor that put in Vivian's?
That's a question, yeah. So it'll be brought up, yeah.
So maybe we ought to bring that contractor back in front of all of the board to discuss.
That could be, let's work on this one with him and then we can have him show up.
I think between the two, we could make this go away.
Because I'm kind of interested on how much they're going to charge us for Vivian's.
Yeah.
Or if they try to charge us.
We'll see when we get that.
You're
so,
going to be negotiating, not in your workshop.
Yeah.
Not in your formal meeting.
That's a good idea. Good suggestions. I'm going to put some notes down here. I can't even spell. So that's what we're going to do with Don and Shanna Hatch.
Make a motion.
Okay.
The motion needs to be made to, we're going to have him come back in.
No, this we'll have a meeting with him on this part.
Right. Meeting with the board.
No, with him specifically.
Well, Judy,
did you hear her?
Her other one, four down here, but do we want to keep them separate, don't we?
Well, if we combine them, then one might take care of the other. One, and they all might go away all in one time.
Okay, let's do that then. I'll listen to your motion. I'll write it down.
I make a motion that we bring the contractor in to discuss both Vivian Anderton's and Don and Shanna Hatch.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any objections on that? There is none. Okay. Motion carries. I think that is a good idea to have him come in next month and we'll have a discussion.
Okay.
But you suggested a workshop meeting to have that discussion before we go into, okay?
Yes.
Because when you get in a meeting, then technically you're making motions, right. You're then discussing the motion, and if you haven't figured out what the solution is, you're wasting your time making a motion.
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense.
So you're saying with the discussions we have with Sunrise on updates on projects, that could be done in a workshop?
Yes.
Yes, as long as you don't make any... the way I see workshops working is we have a proposal and we've got to flesh it out and discuss what the best solutions are. And you don't have to decide that in the workshop, but you can talk about them. And then maybe you've got your mind made up and you can make the motion in the formal meeting to reflect what you talked about.
You have enough information gathered to make a better decision.
Yes, I like that idea, better decision.
See, if you follow the rules, Robert's Rules of Order, no discussion until motion has been made. Because... Yep. It's a waste of time if you can't get a second.
Yeah, and you don't know what you're going to be discussing until the motion's been made. Then you know what you're discussing about.
That's right.
Okay. How long are you going to be around to help train us?
You'll be doing it perfect here in a little while.
Okay, keep us on our toes.
I'll tell you, every organization does it a little different.
A little different. We do? Make a motion to discuss it.
Make a motion to discuss it. Motion to have Jeff do some research.
Okay, yeah. But they need to...
I hate to tell you something. Your little discussion right there...
I know.
...in a forum is not legal.
No, it's not, because he's explaining to me what I need to do.
I know.
And, okay, we're going to move on to item 4. Which is for Roy and Shelley Murray, we need to make what?
I make a motion that Sunrise Engineer look at the elevation.
Okay.
And see if it's feasible for us to extend that line. I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any objections? There is none. So motion carries. That's what Aaron was trying to tell me, what steps to take. Okay, with Roosevelt City, item number 5, Roosevelt City contracts. Anybody wants to touch them?
Huh? I think we ought to have our lawyer, maybe attorney, look at the North Crescent contract and reword that so it's more in our favor. Not so much more in our favor, but takes out all the other contracts out of that.
Yeah. Any jargon. So is that what kind of motion you're looking at?
What do you guys think?
We need a motion
on how you... I think something that would help him is if somebody went through and said, you know what, we really don't want this, we really don't want this, we don't want this. So would that help you?
I'll need it.
Exactly.
Yeah, he will need it,
yes. He's going to need that, so...
Did we receive it recently that we haven't looked
It's been about a month and a half.
I think we looked at it the last meeting.
We glanced at it, yeah, in our workshop, what we were doing, we were looking at.
We kind of delayed it till this month. For the sole purpose, nobody from Roosevelt City showed up.
So I make a motion that two of us go through that contract and give our written approval or written whatever and comments to, and then we send it to Gal.
I think it'd be good for us to all talk about it.
They can go through and make your comments an email.
In an email?
Yeah, it's not that long.
It's
5 pages?
I don't know, 5 or 6 pages.
Judy's already got a lot of that already down.
Yeah.
I make a motion, she just emails it to us.
Right.
And we can add to that if we need to, and then we can get it to Gail.
Right. We go through it, and then we email it to Gail.
Just on that one contract?
Yep.
The other one's tabled for now.
On the North Crescent one?
Yeah.
So do you need a motion for that, Rand?
Yes.
Okay, I make a motion that I will get Aaron to help me and we'll send this back out to the board. Contract for the North Crescent contract.
Okay, for the North Crescent contract.
And we can make our comments?
Right, right.
I think we should all get a copy of everything they sent us.
You've got it in your stuff, but this is for this one specific, so you'll be able to see it.
So.
That's the only one we're gonna worry about.
So if you decide what you want in a circulated among the board.
Yes, yes.
Get their comments.
Yes.
Then send it to me.
Yes. So that might take a week, but we'll give it to you.
Well, and if one of you sees it one way and one of you another way, then we ought to talk about it. It's hard to write something that you haven't agreed on.
Exactly. You are exactly right. You are exactly right. Or we could come back as a workshop and meet up again to go through it, if that's what you guys want to do, whatever.
If we see conflict in it, we could do that.
Yeah.
There wasn't much to change, just some wording mostly.
There was a few things that I wanted to see changed, but yeah.
And that, to make it more even.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know that Dean wanted to put a cap on how much water they could pull through there.
So when you say North Crescent, you mean the exchange rate agreement?
The wheeling agreement.
Yeah, and the back pay that they have not settled up with us.
Okay. So that's one thing that Roosevelt sent us, and then did they send us something on Charmel Acres?
Yeah, yes. We're not even going to deal with that right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was there one other thing, or is that the only two things?
There was another one.
The third one was on the contract extension, but we already resolved that, so we really don't need to mess with that.
We really actually do. We want to look at it, because it's going to be on record when we have two loans coming due that are on a progressive increase, and both of them start hitting at the same time.
We need to renegotiate that with the state.
Yeah, because the drinking water will, they was giving us, what was it, 3 to 5 years?
Before it starts increasing?
Yeah, before it does. And in that time, if we get with a favorable contract with Roosevelt on that for that extension,
okay, but that extension is only on the tank. It does not have anything to do with the water contracts on this other. As I reread that the other day, that is all it's on, is the tank.
Did we receive all this in an email?
Yes.
Yeah, you received, and we had the hard copies in here in one of the meetings.
Okay.
Yeah. But let's stick with the North Crescent. So we're going to just have Judy go through, make some changes, circulate it to us. That's the motion?
Yes.
And we will make changes and get it to go.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Objections? There is none, so let's motion will carry.
More things than you know about yet.
Okay, we're gonna, on item number 6, we're gonna turn some time over to Sunrise. Do we have a motion? We're gonna turn some time over.
That's it.
Yes, you know.
No, you have to stand up there.
It's like I'm a firing squad.
I would have you kneel.
Okay.
You don't know how much that charges.
It'll go fast.
Okay. Hopefully we can be fairly quick. Okay. So things are going great, Victory Pipeline. They're still way ahead, basically to the point that we're stumbling over ourselves trying to keep up with them. Is everyone getting the update emails that I sent out?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So most of you should know this, the main line itself is complete. This week they've been working on grading and excavation down at the tank site itself. And at the same time, they're working their way back up through the project to clean up things, as well as there's, I listed it out, putting in the laterals and the meters. There's a few air vacs that haven't put in. The rest need just the vent coming out of them. Yes.
Question on that tank.
Yeah.
Is that going to be a surface tank, or is that going to be buried under the ground?
So we're digging it down a couple feet, and then we're going to slope a berm up around it so that...
Kind of like the North Crescent.
Basically exactly like North Crescent.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. And then fire hydrant stubs, a couple of those, and about a dozen gate valves. They haven't. Oh, and then there were a couple of stretches of the main line that they couldn't put in, like between the gas line bores. They couldn't do between there. And then the easement adjustment on that one property.
So the bores did get completed?
The bores did get completed.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're doing great. They're anticipating wanting to start doing testing, basically start from the top as they complete everything, the air vacs and the any valves or any of these items. They're going to want to start doing the back T and pressure testing coming down in the next week or so.
As they do that, are they going to be able to, what, is it chlorinate?
They've been putting chlorine in as they go, as they've been going.
Yeah, they throw so much.
So they've been dropping the dry chlorine in.
Yes, okay. Exactly. So it's been sitting there getting disinfected the whole time. So now they're just to the point of fill it up with water.
Are they going to do the whole line at once?
No.
Okay.
No, they'll do stretches.
Because otherwise the bottom of the line's going to be completely full.
Completely full of chlorine.
Is going to be making.
Yes. No, they'll do little chunks at a time going down. And then, yeah, once those two pass off, then it's like good.
So they'll be chlorinating and pressure testing with the same in one step?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So they'll fill up with water or fill the first stretch up with water, get it up to pressure. While it's doing that, it'll be chlorinating. Then, and they'll do the pressure test to make sure, the pressure test, the point is to make sure there's no leaks. If the pressure drops, that means the water's leaking out somewhere. And then...
They'll open the valve, let the water go down?
Yes, then they'll open it up, let the super chlorinated water continue down, and then fill it up with good, not super chlorinated water. Test that, and that confirms that it's disinfected sufficiently.
And they'll be testing that in each section as they go?
Yep. To section at a time. So, yeah, they're doing great.
Just a question, how many connections do they have to make? Services do they have to make?
At the moment, we're at 15. We're at 15 right now.
16, huh?
Soon to be 16. Officially 16.
She came in today.
She came in, okay. So we're to 16 now. Yeah, so a fair number.
That's a good
number. Remember, we started, ends with 3, so that's good.
And when are they planning on starting them, maybe?
The laterals?
Yeah.
Right away, now.
After they get the line tested?
No, so they're planning on going and putting them in so that it can be already connected.
Okay.
Because that will test the, make sure the connection was good, too.
Okay.
So.
Gotcha.
Now, are they going to go back through when they open that line up and flush each one of those individually?
Yes,
they would. Charge chlorine is going to be sitting right there at that meter.
Yeah. Yes, they'll have to do that. Clear out not only the main line, but any laterals on it as well. Yeah. And those are already staked, so they know where those need to be going in.
How much longer does people have be estimating before the deal is over with? Basically, the 3,000 is over there.
I would say 2 weeks. Okay. If they're really pushing their luck, if they push it past 2 more weeks. They're getting lucky if they...
Impact be on top of it.
Yeah. Okay.
actually responded to Brent earlier today, and he said that they were going to do quite a bit of work before they did the connections, and that they might not be for like a month.
Oh, really? That's changed since you last talked to me then, so.
But they have to get all the meter stuff anyway to do it. So.
Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess that's a good point. They, as of Monday, they did not have all the parts for the laterals and the meters. So those that is still coming. 21st.
They're also still waiting for that 10-inch line for the bores.
Waiting for the 10-inch line? Oh, for the HDP going through. Yes, they have to. So on, I guess that's a good clarification point. On those bores, on all the bores, the highway and the three gas line bores, they have the casing in, but they do not have the carrier pipe, the regular pipe going through it yet.
Gotcha.
On the gas line ones, they brought the wrong size. They brought it 6-inch instead of 10-inch. So. Mm.
Is that on that last bore that they just did?
On the gas line bores.
Okay. Like that big, I saw a pretty big black pipe. It didn't look too big. Is that the 6-inch instead of 10-inch?
Yeah. That was a, they grabbed the wrong thing out of the yard, basically.
This is steel pipe, and then they're running the water line through it, right?
No, so they have the
they're doing the HDPE.
They're doing an HDPE casing,
okay.
And then HDP through it as well. That way you don't have a bunch of
together.
Yeah, that way you don't have a bunch of
joints
going through the casing, possibly having issues. It's just one solid piece.
So did they get the casing in the bore so it won't collapse? But they need another 10-inch to go through that. Is the casing like 12-inch?
Yeah, the casing's like 20-inch.
Okay.
And then they have the 10-inch going through that.
And they're blowing that with, filling it with sand afterwards?
It has spacers, okay. So it keeps the spacing center. In the center.
Do they space the 8-inch water pipe inside of that 10-inch?
No, so HDPE is a bit thicker than PVC, and so the closest equivalent to the inside of a 8-inch PVC is a 10-inch.
So the water line HDPE. Will not be the normal water line going through there.
No, it'll be, so you'll have PVC with the joints, and then you get to the bore, and it'll be a section of HDPE, and then back to PVC.
And so that's just suspended inside of the larger 20-inch casing,
right.
And then it goes back into the normal water line.
Right. Okay. That way in the future, if you ever have an issue, close a couple valves, disconnect the PVC or the HDP section going through and just pull one section out and put a new one in. So that's the idea.
If they don't put the valves too close to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And then there is a little change from what I have noted. The pump station, it was scheduled for Friday. They asked the pumps, so it is ready to be delivered. But the Johansson doesn't have the site work done yet, and they didn't want to have to get a crane to come and take it off, and then later come in and do it. So they're asking them to deliver later when they're ready.
So. Good idea.
Okay, we have a preference question coming up for the board. I talked to Alan about this already. One of those 15 connections is the Wolfenden's. Where they're at is the pipeline comes down from the north, comes along Bluebell Highway, and then goes south again. At that turn going south again, as it bores under the highway, the Wolfenden's are the next property over.
Are they in that like trailer or double wide on the trees?
That's what fooled me. They're actually an empty lot in between the two.
So what's the distance there roughly?
80 feet about. So the preference question is, would you prefer having their connection coming off where we have the main line and running a lateral over to them? Or right now we already have a T with the valve. Would you prefer just extending the main line the 80 feet and they come off of that main line?
Where's this at?
On the blue. It's where it goes south under the road. They would
kind of
like it to go west.
Yeah.
80 more feet.
You'd have to put a cap on the end.
It'll have one anyway, because there'll be a 25 foot.
Put a valve on the end. But in the future, in my opinion, the line going west, the full line would be the beneficiary.
Yes.
Yeah.
My recommendation would be putting the main line in.
So you're talking putting 80 feet.
Just 80 more feet of pipe. The difference between lateral and the 8-inch pipe is about $1,100.
I have a question in regards to the Wolfendens, because I am not familiar with that name, and being the office manager, that is a problem. And so, with the Wolfendens, did we have a right-of-way in place for them?
The Carley.
They're along the Blueville Highway easement.
Okay, because they have not been in to pay for a connection or been approved for a connection. So that's the reason why I'm asking, because this is a name that's not familiar to me.
Well, this is one that you sent out for approval.
Yeah, but they haven't been in to pay, so in order for them to get a connection, they have to pay for that connection, sign up for a connection. And so they have not communicated with the office.
Okay.
Can you pass that on when you meet with them? Say, this is what's proposed, but we're not going
to
do it until you pay.
Yeah, I've never talked to them. I was just told they came in and asked for a connection. I thought they had already paid.
Do we got a number or something for them that we can reach out to them?
This is part of the approval process for us. Because right now, we can't get water to them. So we have to approve to be able to. To be able to approve them, and so
yeah,
it may not come to fruition, but we'd still need board approval to extend that line out.
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
Because
I would propose that if they decide to hook up, we extend the line, the 80 feet, if they pay their fee.
This is T.J. Wolfenden. I'm remembering this. And in speaking to him, it was a matter of money issues to be able to do a connection. That's the reason why they haven't come in to pay for a connection.
Okay.
So right now, and that's what I have, I'm just remembering my notes on this. Because I've called him and let him know that we have a connection for him available. But the problem is we have a lot of people along the route that want water, but they don't have the money to buy that $3,000 connection. Okay. And in talking to him, the last time that I visited with him, he stated, well, maybe not right now.
Oh, okay.
So, just information.
So, how do we go about then contacting? Have you got phone number?
Yeah, I have phone number for him.
Contact, yeah, we need to. They're not going to be willing to do it now.
Yeah.
Then we don't want to extend.
We don't want to extend, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll reach back out to him tomorrow again. But that's what I remember when what I had in my notes, because I have a note on my desk for TJ, and I wrote some really quick notes on it. When they tell me no, that's pretty much the end of the story at that point.
Okay.
And it doesn't get... All the ones that we've talked about, I've been giving back to you either verbally. This one today was verbally, but the other ones I've been sending an email and responding back to or a text and saying, hey, this one's good.
Okay.
And so...
You can kind of remind them, just jokingly, there is places in town that loan money.
Okay.
They do charge interest on it too. Yeah.
Do we need to get the board approval for if he says he does want it, which option?
We do, because we don't want to wait another 30 days. So,
what's the guy's name?
T.J. Wolfenden. I
would make a proposal on Wolfenden. That if he pays the $3,000, that we extend the line, the 80 feet, the 8-inch line, 80 feet, to make it a nicer connection.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, Kim, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? There
is none. Can I make a comment before you finalize that, though?
Oh, okay.
If residuals go bad there,
there's no way to flush.
To flush that.
The only way to flush it is run his line.
We don't have enough pressure for a fire hydrant there to do it.
Yeah, there will be.
No, actually, there would not. That's a good point.
I have no way to flush it. So he could flush it, but that'd be going through his meter.
Yeah.
Unless we just put a little 3/4-inch spout up off of our line. I've done that in Lighton before, but people hit them and. We'll probably have to fix it a couple of times.
Like a yard hydrant, but
with the lock on.
So there definitely is not enough pressure for a fire hydrant down there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's enough pressure, it's there's not enough capacity in the line.
If we go 8-inch, go that way?
Yeah, because if you recall, there was a spot in along the line where until you start looping back around onto Bluebell, you don't have enough capacity to feed a fire hydrant. And that's just north of Bluebell Highway where the last fire hydrant is.
So it's on the south side where AJ and them's got the their offices, and that's not the same way, is it, there on that side
of the road? Yeah, it's the same way.
So even with the backflow from the tank going down, we don't have enough, huh?
That's right, yeah. The losses in the line coming down are too much to supply the fire flow required by the county.
And how big of a section is this that we can't do that?
It's about half of the project, so about 3 miles.
But then, because this is the first time I'm hearing this, because now the Kendalls has got connections on the south side of the road just a few hundred feet away. Are they going to fall under that same mm-hmm. not enough?
Yeah, we discussed this during the design process.
Not for fire flow, for service.
Okay, service is fine. It's the fire hydrants. And so we put stubbed spots for those fire hydrants in the future, but those can't be put into service until
the pressure
looping happens.
Okay.
More looping. Just with the one single line, it's not sufficient.
So you're saying, is it possible that if we gave them a connection, there'd be another way to flush it?
So if we did, if essentially rather than just putting a regular end cap on the end of the pipe, if we were to put a cap with a 3/4-inch tap, come out with a cork stop, put a valve so I can turn it on and off so that nobody else is going to know that that's what that's for, run a line out that comes up and out of the ground, air gap, so that we're doing our backflow prevention stuff, I'd be able to flush through that valve.
Every couple of months or something?
And, well, only if needed. I'd be able to go and sample residuals periodically, and if it needed to be flushed, then at that point, I could turn it on, let it flow for the period of time until that residual came up to required levels. But that is, without having flushable point right there, I would say that's not a serviceable location at this time. So we'd have to include that. I don't know if we'd want to absorb that cost or include it in their cost to be able to tap into it. And apparently they're kind of wondering whether they want to connect because of the cost already.
How much more did you say would cost to add? Did you say 80 feet?
To do
1,200.
To do, yeah, 1,100 to do the 8-inch. For the 80 feet instead of service lateral.
It's only $1,200. So that'd
be like 1,100. Yeah, you just have to get a cap with the cord.
Pipe?
Yeah.
Okay.
What Alan's talking about, that would eventually be removed as that line's.
Yeah, as that line goes further down, yeah, then it's removed. Goes away, but.
Yeah.
I think it would be nice if we could help them with that, if they could pay for a connection.
So I'll make a proposal then. A motion. I'll make a motion.
Do we need
then
to make...
Then we change this.
For him to do that, yeah.
Do we need to make a motion to rescind the motion that we just did?
Well, we didn't approve it.
You might. Yeah. You want to make a substitute motion.
I'll make a substitute motion that on the end of that 8-inch line, we put a cap with a tap on it so we can put a valve to be able to flush that out if needed.
Do we have a second? Keep a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? There is none. So.
And that's if it pays us 300.
Okay.
So when you record that, then you say the substitute motion
passes. Substitute motion passes. Now with that, Jeff, if you probably are out there and you get a hold of the next resident 300 feet away, they may want water. They've got the money. They do have money to,
okay.
Yeah.
That's what I did their kitchen. At. There's like a little pocket of residents there. It'd be nice if we could install the pipe just at least in that area.
Maybe we could discuss that in just a second.
Okay.
With the remainder options. Okay. One thing I want to bring up, discussing with Ellen too, just to thought would be useful to make the get the board on the same page as far as pressures in the system. So we just want to make sure that as people are talking to you and asking you about it, the way your system is set up, there are high pressures in a lot of areas. In the existing system, there are high pressures. This extension, there will be some spots that are a little bit higher, but you already have high pressures. So it's important that everyone understands that when they connect on, they have to have PRVs on their houses. Otherwise, things will start exploding.
No, if you heard Jeff, he said PRVs.
PRVs. Pressure reducing valves.
Yeah.
I think we had that in our pamphlet we hand out anyway.
Okay.
But we ought to check on that and make sure.
Just what we're looking at.
We want to make sure that it's very clear to everybody.
Only one will be required because when a PRV is sold, when it fails, it closes and doesn't allow water. So when it fails, it doesn't increase your water pressure. It drops to nothing. So only one is necessary.
Because it fails shut.
And that would be located at what place
before,
in
before
the system?
It goes into your house?
Is that like right after the meter?
So wherever they want it.
You can kind of put them in several locations. Some of them put them on the line in a tank or a little vault right off of the line. If they're going to do a sprinkling system, they don't want the high pressure on the sprinkling system. They put them in a can there. Others wait till it gets into the house, and right before it enters the plumbing of the house, they put the PRV there. So there's several options in the plumbing code to allow for where you want to put it, but it is a requirement
to have them on our
pressures.
And that's something, if we're going to make it a requirement, we're probably going to want to inspect it to make sure that they have one.
I don't know that we would legally be able to.
It's on their side of the line.
If it's in their home, we've got no legal bounds past that meter. But if we have a release form saying that you agree that you'll put a PRV on there in the contract and then your water heater blows up because you didn't put one on there, we're not liable. Yeah. And we won't be liable for that water that went everywhere either. You're paying for that too because you knew about it.
And I think that's why we want to make it clear that everyone really needs to know that when they connect on.
How would that affect the system though if somebody's line broke, if they've got an inch connection and it blows and it's just foam bar 180 pounds of pressure?
They'll just start draining the tank.
On their property, their liability. And so they'd have to pay the bill and that'd be on them.
So you're...
That ought to be in your contract with each connection then.
That they're responsible for any...
Anything after the meter is already in the contract, is it not?
Yep. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, but if...
And I think we recommend it.
But mention it specifically.
Yeah.
Any line breaks, damage, or whatever, they're responsible.
Well, the pressure issue, the pressure-reducing valve is their responsibility.
Yes.
What you're saying.
Yep. Yeah.
So you think we ought to make another form and go around and have everybody sign it as we're...
No, because I think it's already in there.
We already signed it in the contracts, and the original was in there that you had to have a PRV on your system. Even though the system had a PRV, you had to install it on your home too. Mm-hmm. Now, and that's not something that we have to inspect though, because if it goes bad and your home gets flooded, that's on you. It was in the contracts.
I'm just worried about like the wording for this other connection we made. Do we need to check it in our contract to make sure it's worded correctly so it doesn't come back on us?
Yeah, that we're not liable.
I think it won't be.
There are certain things that you can correct yourself on. It'd be worth a look at, for sure.
So just for reference, the existing system, the highest pressure spots, there's a fair amount of the system that's in the 170 PSI range, and one spot that's in the 180 range in the existing system. There'll be a couple spots along this new route that are in the 180 as well, but right at the very bottom will be 195. right at the very bottom. The main line is set up for much higher pressures into the 230s and 40s. So your system is good, but houses, we want to make sure they have those PRVs.
Yeah, and that is one of the connections that the individual came in and paid for today.
Yes,
So
the customer today, just to give feedback to the board, the customer that came in today, we explained that it would be good to even have two PRVs on your line, because if one fails, then you have the other one where you are right at the beginning of the system. And they were very much on board with that. They've just built a home. They're looking to build onto that. They're not wanting to have major issues. So they were willing to comply with that.
Is that way down at the bottom?
Yeah.
Very bottom.
Let's think this through. So you connect 10 new houses. And they don't even put pressure reducing valves on themselves. And you have water flood in 10 new houses. Don't count on anything you can say in a contract that's going to protect you. You got to take that into your system. You got to take that into account into your system. In other words, if I contract that I'm not going to kill you and I go ahead and do it, they're still going to come after me.
Yeah.
So even if we have this in the contract, there's always that chance or possibility they're going to come after. But this kind of gives us something to fall back on, but it doesn't guarantee we won't be sued or have to pay
and that you
for
might
fees.
Lose, too.
Yeah.
Because we've got millions of dollars.
To speak to that, too, in my neighborhood in Roosevelt, I'm connected to Johnson Water. Our pressures at my home, we had a pipe burst in our crawl space. When they checked the pressures, I was getting 180 PSI through my, and I had a pressure reducing valve on. The city came out after complaining to the city. They dug up around my meter and put their own pressure reducing valve in because they realized if you're right, number three house on this street, and you're already seeing this happen, then we may have this catastrophic failure. And so the city came in and they started doing that with the other ones too to protect the water flow for the others.
How many houses we got down there that's going to have this much pressure?
Look at your insurance policies also and see what kind of coverage you've got.
We have the old meters that they put into, the old setters that they put into this line, and they had it with a PRV in the box.
Right.
On these high pressure ones, do we need to give them to the contractor and put a PRV there to protect ourselves, you think?
It's gonna create maintenance in the future.
If I was a homeowner again, I would want that PRV out there at the meter to protect my line and everything else from there on to my house and through my house, rather than just at the house, you've got all this liability in between. The thing to do is to put that PRV where the water comes off the meter. That's my opinion.
And it's a hassle for us, but it also could save us down the road.
It's,
in a sense. And we got the setters over there. We got like 10 or 12 of them. I might as well use them.
I think it's a no-brainer, but that's myself, just to cover yourself.
To have the system put it in or have the homeowner put it in at the meter?
Well, that's something we need to discuss.
Because I know as a water user, I don't want you reducing my water pressure down to 35 coming off there because I want the pressure on my yard hydrant.
I was just the opposite. I probably got the longest line in the system. Of course, I was over it then, but the PRV that comes off to my house, I reduced it.
You turned it down at the
meter? Right there, at the meter. Because the line I had to bury went through some very, very, if you've been over that lane, swales and that, if I ever break, it's going to be one dirty son of a gun.
It's going to be hard to find.
So anyway, that's what I did, is I reduced the pressure at my PRV at the meter. And yes, I'm probably running on a little less water pressure. I can live with a little less water pressure.
And you can get the PRVs with different settings.
Right. But that's whatever.
With your line being so long, do you lose pressure with it being longer?
Right.
You'd probably do right.
But he upsized it. What you got to?
I got a 1-inch hookup. And then I laid 1.25-inch line. I don't know if you know what that means, but anyway. So the water flow's there. I don't need a lot of high pressure to have water flow.
Yeah. I think mine's a 3/4 and I upsized to 1.5.
Yeah.
To where I don't have no problem with water.
Yeah, most people don't understand the size of that line makes a lot of difference.
Yeah. But so what are we suggesting then just to cover ourselves besides wording? We just want the customer to be aware of that there can be...
There is a pressure problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just bringing it up just so everyone was on the same page that...
Mm-hmm. It's a good bring-up.
If someone talks to you and you want to bring it up then too, anytime someone talks to you and asks about connections, remind them.
Always bring
we're
up.
A high-pressure system. Because even the lower pressure spots are fairly high compared to other
normal
systems.
Normal systems, yeah.
Yeah.
So our hookup stuff does talk about PRVs, right, Aaron?
Yes. Yep. All of our.
Is it bolted?
Is it what?
Bolted.
A bolted.
Bolded? No, I'm sure it's not.
Maybe
it is. It is on the contract that they sign, the first page that they sign, and then they get to their contract sheet. All of the stuff that we send. It's about 32 pages long. And so that's what the Hatches had referred to was that. It wasn't just the page that we have. They referred to that 32-page document. Okay. And that's probably what we need to look at.
Yeah, before you hand any more out, let's take a look at that and see what changes we need to make.
Well, we need to do that quick because
yes.
We still have people coming in. That's the problem
yeah.
right now.
I did read through recently and... There were a few things that I thought needed adjusting. I can't remember off the top of my head what they were.
We should be okay on the Victory Pipeline because Johansson's connecting to putting the meter and setting all that in.
Yeah.
But when we come into the springtime, we need to have that changes made by then.
If somebody else comes in and wants to buy on the existing system, tell them to wait until April.
We have already.
Okay, we'll have new contracts available.
Yeah, we'll be doing that in April.
Okay, Jeff, continue.
Okay, yesterday Aaron sent me an email from someone at the state talking about a single audit letter requirement. That was the first I'd ever heard of such a thing. I did reach out to Division of Drinking Water to ask them about it, and they said, oh yes, that is a requirement. I am still a little unclear on exactly what that is supposed to entail. My thought was to reach out to your regular auditor to have them look at the requirements and say, this is what that would take. I wanted your guys' buy-off on that.
That would be what, ACOC?
Yeah.
So is this just an audit on the Victory Pipeline itself?
That's what it seems to be saying, is that because of the funding source, one of the requirements is that you have a specific audit on the project itself. That's what it seems to be saying.
A financial audit?
Financial audit, yeah.
And our accountant or whatever auditor would probably understand that more and know what to look at.
That's why I was like...
Is there a law on this?
Yes, there is.
That's what they're going to want to know, is to make sure the auditor says that you can pay that loan back. We just have to do the same thing with the Division of Drinking Water on our Main Street project.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever seen this document before, because we had this from CIB and they wanted project specific information.
Yes.
And wanted pictures, wanted other data from that too as well. So
yeah.
We'll get with ACOC and Miles on that.
Yeah, yeah, this was the first time I had heard of a financial audit. All projects, they want updates on how the project's going, what Aaron's talking about, but this is a financial audit that I just wasn't familiar with.
Yeah.
So we'll have Aaron follow up on that then?
With ACOC and Miles.
what they call it.
Okay. Okay. Sorry, it's taking a minute. I included on your sheet budget information. So yeah, kind of breaking down how much is remaining, what I'm estimating the water line construction will still require. So that's taking out the things that we're seeing are going to be saved. The bedding, the backfill, those things we've always been talking about. When you take that out, that 1.13 million is what we're thinking is remaining left on the project.
So, let's see. You said they finished putting in the water line, though.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that we're still going to pay 1.1 million on.
Yeah, because you haven't paid for all of it yet.
Yeah.
That's just what needs to be paid.
So, that's not the budget that we're under budget. Or let's see, is it 305 now?
That would come off the 2.2.
Right. So what I was getting down to was adding up all the various costs we're still seeing going to be needed.
Okay.
The contingency there is what will be remaining. That's even after the tank construction, as far as our estimate at the moment.
On this SCADA,
or Johansson's estimate, I should say.
SCADA one. We talked in a workshop meeting one time about maybe getting some testing stations for the residual chlorine.
Mm-hmm.
Could we find out how much that would actually cost?
Yeah. So that was kind of what I wanted to discuss with the board. Was it's looking like even after the tank construction, you'll still have about $305,000. So we've already talked about what was their names down at the end of the line there. So I'll be looking at that. That could be an option. We've talked about Mecham Lane. We've talked about different tank size, all sorts of things. Additional SCADA improvements could be on there as well. So in my last email, I mentioned that likely we won't have solid construction for the tank numbers from Johansson until mid-February, so that would be when we know, okay, this is what we've got, what do we want to do with the remainder.
So how are you doing on the plan for the tank?
They're coming along. So the mid-February getting numbers back from Johansson is based on us getting our design to them
before
the 1st of February.
Okay.
So, giving them a couple weeks after that.
The 1st of February, you should have it.
And we're on track for that.
Numbers.
Yes.
Now, on that tank construction site in that $150,000, that was including fencing and all that. So, when they get a chance, they can start on that.
Yes.
Before anything inside. Okay.
Yeah. So, the $150,000 there, that includes the $30,000 you already gave them a change order for the excavation. Yep. So, roughly 120 still after that is what we're estimating the construction will be, including fence, including gravel for around the yard so you have a place to pull in and things like that.
So I got another question, might be out in left field, but for the pump station, we was going to put a generator there.
Yep.
And all that, backup generator.
Yep.
And all that. That was going to be propane?
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to have to be. So the price includes all that a tank, or do we need to reach out to somebody and get a price on a tank?
The cost in the original contract amount included the generator and the propane tank as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that was a requirement from the state to have those backups.
Gotcha.
So, I don't know if you want to discuss more or you want to save it, but for the next time, but.
It was only $1,200. For 4 sticks of that main line, does that include them trenching it?
Yes. Yeah. No. So $1,200 is the difference between putting a lateral and an 8-inch line.
A lateral. Okay.
Yeah.
Overall, it costs more than that. It's like. I think it was like $3,800 for the main line and $2,600 for the lateral. Just running the numbers, so I've been thinking about it a little bit. The Meekum Lane has been thrown out there. Depending on if you needed a PRV vault, if you sell your PRV, existing PRV vault to Roosevelt, the 300,000-ish would probably cover about 3,600 feet, and it's 28 down to Meekum Lane, so another 800 or so past into the Meekum Lane or past, just so you're kind of...
And that's with putting a PRV up there?
That's with putting a PRV and having to do bores across the highway and stuff like that.
Okay, so that's one option.
So that's one option.
And we need to have you notified by when? Next board meeting? We need to make a decision? Or sooner?
It'll be roughly around next board meeting. So probably at next board meeting would be when we
have to have
have a number from Johansson of this is how much to construct the tank. So we have this much left. So let's make a decision.
Will extension on the line that we was talking about down here already be part of this, or we need
it could, so it would be instead of as much line out in Meekum Lane or instead of something somewhere else.
Well, that's okay.
So you could, the same issue, you could extend that line depending on how far you extend that line, which I'll be looking at in the next week or so.
Will the one to the Murrays, will that only work if it's lower elevation?
Right.
So it wouldn't work if it's
going uphill. Yeah.
And that's because the pressure's too low.
Right. At that dead end, the pressure from the tank has reached its limit, basically, at that dead end. Okay. Unless it keeps going downhill, and then you gain pressure as you go downhill. But if you go uphill, you lose even more.
AJ brought it up on his phone. It looked like it increased
elevation. It might be wrong, but Onyx Hunt shows that it goes up 32 feet.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we could make it to Everett's house, but after that, I think it starts going back up.
Okay.
We'll
have to look. I don't know where you put it through right there.
Yeah, I'll go out and actually look at it in person and see what's going on. Because like you're saying, if the north side is downhill, then you could extend it, and you just can only connect people on the north side type thing.
Yeah. Find out where, what distance it is, or what location, where.
Right. Yeah.
When will we be able to have higher pressure there? Like, after we get another tank higher up?
Yeah, you'd have to get another tank higher up in the system.
Would, like, doing any more looping down south?
It wouldn't make a difference, because as long as it stays dependent on the existing tank right here, it's the same pressure at that area, in that area. Okay. Any other questions about Victory? Okay. Tribal easements were in the same position. Had no luck actually getting an appointment set. They just, we'll schedule you, and then they don't schedule me. Right, we'll schedule you, and then they don't schedule you. So, my suggestion would be just creating a proposal for them of what you would propose to them, but that's up to you.
I think that's what we should do.
Who knows if they'll actually listen to that proposal, but... At least you're giving them something.
Something to negotiate off from.
Yeah. Okay. Then, Len Coffer, if there's no more discussion about that, tribal stuff. We're in the same position. The DW and EPA are still trying to, they're being slow at figuring out what waiver paperwork has to happen for to not require BABA for the equipment requests. So that's bought us time, but we should finalize what we want to be requesting
here in the next few months.
Uh-huh.
So, okay.
So our survey and stuff would be considered equipment then, I guess?
Yes, so I did get an updated GPS equipment quote.
GIS?
Yeah, GPS, GIS. GPS, GIS, all the same stuff. And that's the cost there, $9,454. Hmm. And that's the same piece of equipment that we're using now on the project to locate things as we're going.
That's supposed to be GPS?
Yeah.
Yeah, GPS.
It just puts it into a GIS system. So
yeah,
it's all,
yeah.
Sorry. It's all tied together.
It's all tied together, it's just slightly different.
Now, by the time we get this, will it be outdated like our first one was that didn't work?
I mean, everything's going at record speed, so I can't guarantee how long it'll be good, but it's what we're using.
Buy a phone today and they'll come out with a new one tomorrow.
Right.
After he's done. I need a break too.
And then, but the one real big question I have is about the land locator.
So I found several places. I did not bring copy of them. 6,500 is what that I'm averaging out on.
Okay.
And they may allow that?
Oh yeah, they've approved them.
Okay.
Right? So.
So we're looking at 10 grand and 6 grand about, so 16,000 out of that.
Of that 50.
What was the 6 grand for?
A new
line locator.
Line locator.
Yeah. So what will...
Can't use a green willow anymore.
Not that high enough.
You can. It's a lot cheaper option. So in order to send in the request, we just need... quote. No problem.
I'll get those sent over to you.
Okay. Well, that's a good start.
But that does leave whatever you want.
Yeah.
What do we need to do connections?
A full-time employee,
an excavator, whether that be a backhoe or a mini, you're going to want a trailer to haul it with, a truck to haul it with. I mean, I've got a truck, but that's extra wear and tear on our personal equipment. You'll need a dump truck or a trailer to be able to haul dirt in and out.
A lot of money, that's what you need. Mm-hmm. A lot of money and a lot more customers.
On some of that, I don't think it will be as bad as it sounds because the state's got surplus sites that we can go through when we get to that point.
We had a guy come in with a suction truck yesterday and was showing it to the county. And we're waiting on a price. So when I get that price, then I can pass it on to you and find out. It was a suction trailer, kind of like what Kim Blanchard has. So I'm kind of curious how much it is.
Is it the same brand, Ditch Witch?
No, it's a different brand. It has a smaller tank and everything. He had the two side tanks. It's just as a single, like a 100-gallon tank up front or 150 or something.
Was it a power line?
Remember.
I feel like right now we're just having issues with contractors putting in connections. If we, and it does sound like it'd be a lot to get the equipment to be able to do it ourselves, but if we could do it ourselves, even if we didn't do all of them,
well,
it might keep them more competitive, like, because they know if they charge too much, we'll just do them.
But we have the other problem, situation like me, that the state says we cannot... I cannot be a board member and be doing connections and things like that.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, all that's going to rely on is Alan to be able to do that. And he's got a full-time job. There's no way he can do them on the side, too.
Application or
whatever. Well, if Jeff doesn't have anything else, let's take a real short break real quick.
Great point. Once we get busy.
Are we on break?
We're taking